All right. Welcome in, everybody. It's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. Happy Friday to all of you. All right, let me give you a quick preview of what is on the show tonight. So for Christians around the world, we are in the midst of Holy Week. Today is Good Friday. And this Sunday is Easter, a perfect time to talk to Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. And we'll get an update on what Catholic Charities is doing for the people of Ukraine, plus the Cardinal's Easter message of peace. And that's all after 6:30. We'll talk this week in sports with Lauren Majera. And at 7:30, Dr. Ian Smith will join us to talk about his new book, Plant Power. Just after 8, we'll welcome Jeffrey Bear from WTTW to talk about the new season of the Great Chicago Quiz Show. And plus, since it's Easter weekend and a lot of that is all about candy, we'll talk about Chicago's sweet candy history. But first, it's the sixth and final season of AMC's Better Call Saul, which premieres this Monday, April 18th, and stars Chicago's very own Bob Odenkirk. Here's a little sneak preview.
The day.
Who's here to see Saul Goodman?
Whatever happens next, it's not going to go down the way you think it is.
And Chicago's own Bob Odenkirk joins us tonight. Hi, Bob. Glad to have you back on the show.
Very good to talk to you.
It's the final season premiere on Monday, and now beginning its sixth season, you continue to make this dark character likable.
Well, I give a lot of credit to the writers because they wrote a spirited fellow who is very entertaining to watch. He says a lot of funny things, and frankly, he's very often he's entertaining himself. He's smiling at his own antics.
Yeah,
and I think people are audiences. It's kind of infectious, his joy at what he's doing. And even though he's very often being duplicitous or using someone or in some way doing something like a con, which is ethically questionable, he's having so much fun doing it, and he's so inspired at his plans that it's very hard not to like a person who's trying to win, even if they're trying to win in a deceitful manner.
Well, I don't even want to say it's like watching a car crash, because you want to see what's going on and what's happening. You know what he's doing is kind of devious, but it just makes you, I think, want more, right?
It is so. He's a car crash. He's a human. he's a human accident that is happening, and he's running down the road, smashing into things, and we're all sitting back and enjoying it.
Yeah.
But the moments where he's truly a bad guy, I think, are the moments where you can see him have an option to do something right or be a more human person, and he makes the choice to manipulate or hurt someone. And those don't come all the time, you know. Those are come along once in a while. The episode 2 that just played has a moment in it that it's very unjustified from what you can tell, except if you know the character and if you know where he's going. But otherwise, there's no justification for the way he turns on those two guys who run the copier company and give him a job, offer him a job, and then he turns and tells them they were clowns to believe what he had to say. He was a good guy.
Yes.
It was amazing what a good person they invented Saul out of. He was a very likable Chicagoan from Cicero, good Catholic boy,
right?
who had some bad. He had some instincts that went the wrong way, and he had some talents that were easily manipulated into the wrong, unethical. Plots and plans, but he was a good guy, and he's becoming a not good guy.
Well, we're talking to Chicago's own Bob Odenkirk. The new season of Better Call Saul premieres on Monday on AMC, and there's more after a look at your Friday commute. State Player on 720 WGN, and we're talking to Chicago's own Bob Odenkirk on the sixth and final season of AMC's Better Call Saul. So comedy is something that has always been in your blood. And when you were growing up in Naperville, you were writing sketches even before high school.
Yeah, well, mostly I started in junior high at Jefferson Junior High School in Naperville.
Yeah.
And I had a couple teachers there who encouraged me to write sketch comedy pieces that were informational as part of my projects in, I believe that was seventh grade.
Okay.
And that was really the start for me. Those teachers, I think I wrote four or five sketches over the course of a year, and we performed them for the classes, got
wow.
a lot of good laughs,
yeah,
and got some great grades, and got a lot of encouragement from the teachers for that. There's no doubt that that was an important thing for me that made me feel like this was a skill I might have. It still took a long time for me. When you live in Chicago, when you live in Naperville, and you live in the outskirts of a bigger city, you know, the idea of show business is so far away from
yeah.
where you live. And
sure.
It took me a long, long time to just imagine that I could actually, that it was legitimate for me to try.
Well, and even being in the burbs, I mean, you listened to Chicago radio growing up here. Who were some of your influences? Who were some of the guys you listened to growing up?
Well, look, Steve Dahl is absolutely number one influence for me. If you're talking Chicago radio,
sure.
I think I related to his anarchic sense of humor, his cynicism, and his sarcasm. Which I weirdly, Steve is from California, but he's
right.
got a very Chicago. I mean, there's a reason he's been on the air in Chicago for most of his career.
Oh, no,
I mean,
got a Chicago way about
very,
him.
Yeah, there's a very Chicago point of view on the world, which is, you know, skeptical and very down to earth. And maybe even at times a little mean, but always to good ends.
Yeah, I agree.
To make you laugh
yeah.
and to tear yeah. down. To tear down the people who are full of themselves.
Oh man, we had so many radio greats here in Chicago as well. But Bozo, what about Bozo? I can't ask a question on a station with the call
yeah.
letters WGN without Bob Bell.
Bob Bell, who played Bozo when I was a kid and even through my teen years, he was one of the most naturally funny. I put him next to Bill Murray as like funniest Chicagoan
wow.
ever.
Yeah,
and I mean they're both. Naturally, easily, without trying, so likably funny, and yeah, I mean that's just to be envied and treasured. The point of view of Bob Bell and that voice he had, and the same of course I love Bill Murray.
Yeah,
he's just the best.
I've heard you do a little Bob Bell voice before. You're damn close, man. It's almost like he's right
hey,
there.
Cookie. It was a little bit like a drunk guy, a little bit, a guy with a stuffed up nose.
It is true. But, you know, what was cool is he was entertaining kids, but he was entertaining every adult in that room and on the air as well, right?
Listen, any adult watching without being remotely scatological, remotely crude,
yeah.
it was his point of view.
Yeah.
And it was his good-natured, you know, kind of ironic stance. He was a genius, and I sure wish he'd done some, you know, sketch comedy or any kind of adult kind of performance or
yeah.
comedy. I don't know what his story was. I'll always be curious about what kind of guy he actually was and what he aspired to in life, because from my point of view, he could have been anything. He could have
yeah.
been a movie star, and you know, you never know with the Chicagoan whether, you know, sometimes people make the choice to just go, yeah, that's okay. I like living in Chicago, and I like
yeah.
being around my kids and raising my family and being a dad, and I don't need to spend my whole life or give over my whole life to some career. And I really I love Bob Bell, and if only I could be touched by some of the natural humor of those great Chicagoans, that would be the gift of all time.
No question, and I feel like part of my own sense of humor was formed by watching those shows, and it's the same I feel about Mr. Show. It was a brilliant sketch comedy that really pushed the limits.
To me, Mr. Show
when we did it right, we did, number one, we did a couple really great sketches, like the audition, pre-tape call-in show, young people and their companions, the story of Everest, lie detector,
commercials of the future was another a great one. A change for a dollar was another favorite.
Yeah. A lot of really just solid sketches with great ideas, well executed, beginning, middle, and end, and kind of not leaning too much on the moment. Just you could do them now and you'd get the same laughs. You know, you'd get just as good a reaction from an audience.
And I know there's audiences out there that still want to laugh, but we are going deeper into this world of political correctness and being offended by everything. And that doesn't make doing comedy very easy today, does it?
The one thing that irks me is if the piece that is upsetting you is advertised as comedy, is clearly set up as comedy, if it takes place in a comedy club, if it's in a comedy theatrical show, if a stand-up comedian is doing it on stage, then you have to recognize that there's a basic agreement that this is not meant except as a provoker of laughter. And
right.
If it doesn't make you laugh, well, then they failed.
Yeah, right.
But it's not a polemic. It's not a person lecturing you.
Yeah.
The difficult part is when you get into things like Twitter, I think really kind of people did things on Twitter before they'd figured out what Twitter meant to everyone else. They for some people, they said, oh, I see, it's a platform for my jokes. And that had not been established yet. And in the end, that's not what Twitter is. But I think a lot of comedians in particular thought, oh, what a perfect, it's just a stage for my comedy jokes.
Right.
But the thing is that isn't what had been established yet about what Twitter was. And so I think now we're finally, after all these years, getting closer to what Twitter is to other people. And that's what defines it, you know. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair to have a person go in a comedy club and see a comedian, and the comedian does provocative material, and then walk out and treat it like they went and saw a political speech.
Yeah, then their intention walking in there wasn't right. Yeah, then their intention walking in there wasn't right. If you weren't going there to laugh, then you're in the wrong place.
Right, right. And you cannot laugh, that's for sure. That's up to you.
Yeah.
And if a comedian is not making people laugh, then he's failing. So if he's doing all kinds of rude, crude stuff and saying nasty things and you're not laughing, well, he's the loser in that interchange.
Absolutely.
But you can't take what's said in there and walk out and go, this person believes that, they spoke to me about it, they said that's what they believed. Comedy is a way of being honest, but it's a roundabout way of being honest. And if you really want to tell people what you think, well, go ahead and write an essay and put it in the paper. And,
sure.
And there's a million places for that as well.
Different forum.
Yeah.
Different forum.
Yeah. I think it's been hard for everyone in the audience sometimes to figure out, and we have these like entirely new platforms, and we just haven't sorted out yet what we're doing on them yet. What we're all agreed is happening there.
Sure.
So.
Well, great insight to all this, and so looking forward to the sixth and final season premiere, Better Call Saul, Monday at 8 on AMC. And Bob also has a new book out called Comedy, Comedy, Comedy Drama, and you can pick that up at your local bookseller. Bob Odenkirk, everybody, thanks so much for joining us.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Chicago's own Bob Odenkirk.